מולו מסובואן.
Good afternoon, Coach. Good afternoon, everyone.
I'm connected, though I have a problem. It's for the first time now that the system is kicking me out. I hope this time I'm trying to get a better spot. But I'm in, che.
Yeah, it will frustrate you, Shema. I understand. I even wanted to connect outside, to hold a meeting outside. Okay. Oh, it was there.
I'm reading back now.
You had it and then you removed it.
Do you have it now?
Yeah, we have something like four items.
Sorry.
Okay, honorable members, we are sorry about these glitches for the late starting. We are 9 minutes late. Our apologies. I know some of us have connected you as usual 10 minutes before time, the starting time. Let me take this opportunity, honorable members, to welcome you to this meeting, very important meeting, where we are going to finalize some of the issues that have been outstanding. Co-chairperson Mabi, the executive authority, I don't know if Ntate Masondo is there, but I've seen the speaker.
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, thank you, Ntate. You are also welcome. We appreciate your presence to honor the invitation. We will make everything possible. I know that it has been difficult for us to get the members to agree to have meetings on Fridays. But this shows commitment and the willingness that we want to serve. We want to keep on the mandate, hence we are here to serve the people of the country. And I want to appreciate that, members, for availing yourselves on Friday. Hopefully, when we are back in Parliament, we'll do the same. We are not just doing it because we are at our comfort homes. Thank you very much. Hope will not take much. Apologies, officially, can we note the apologies, any that you have received, Cindy, from your file?
Yes, Chairperson. Good afternoon, members and guests. We have received an apology from Mayor Tlakude, who has another commitment, and the Deputy Minister and Minister of Public Works and Infrastructure have also apologized.
Okay. We have a honorable team is just sent on the chat that the Honorable Julius will be joining the meeting late. We have a sending apology that of Honorable Hai is not well. Honorable Nyandi also is not well. He has apologized.
I'm here.
Julius, you are here already. Yeah, you have joined us late as
yes.
You're welcome. You're welcome. And those are the apologies that I can confirm. We note the apologies, honorable members and co-chairperson. Can you go to the next item on the agenda, which is the update on infrastructure-related matters on Parliament? On the agenda, I don't know who is leading the team from Public Works. Is it Public Works that is going to make a presentation?
Yes, Chairperson, it is going to be a Public Works, but we'll just give, because we have submitted two documents, but Public Works is going to talk to them. Tembeka is there online, and Meme Kahara is online. Thank you, Chairperson.
Okay. Thank you, Honorable Ms. Jawa. Public Works, can you take us through, can you flag the document, the slide on the screen, Cindy?
Yes,
what's that?
Chairperson, can you hear me?
Who's calling for my assistant?
Chairperson, I'm the acting. Can you hear me, Chairperson?
Oh. I hear you.
It's the acting ED from Public
Yes,
Works.
Good afternoon, Chairperson
afternoon,
and
sir.
Members of the committee. My name, yes, my name is Imtiaz Faisal. I'm the acting DG for the department, and I'll be leading the presentation assisted by my colleagues. May I commence, Chairperson?
Thank you very much. You're welcome.
Chair, maybe...
Thank you.
Chair, Imtiaz, maybe we should just verify with the meeting. From our side in Parliament, we submitted a document that consolidated the work we'd be doing with Public Works. However, Public Works have submitted their presentation. It's basically the same. So I think the acting DG would prefer to talk to their presentation and not the one on the screen. Am I right, Imtiaz?
That is correct, Chairperson. I haven't seen any other presentation. I've only got my own. I'm sure we have submitted on your side. If that can be beamed up, I will go through that presentation. Thank you so much.
Okay, my plan was that we are going to give Public Works to make presentation and we'll give you Parliament, Mr. Awa, to make additions after the presentation by Public Works, if you so feel.
Yes, yes, Chair. I was just saying he must speak to their submission and not ours. It's similar, but I think theirs has got more updates. Thank you so much.
What is going on?
I'm trying to put up the presentation.
That's the right one. That's the right one. Yes.
Yeah,
that's the correct one.
Right
one. That's
just the correct one. Don't want to decorate. We see colors here like we want to decorate it. Please just flick it. Sir, you can... Public Works, can you continue with the presentation? We can see.
Thank you very much, Chairperson and members of the committee. Chairperson, we'll be going through a number of areas just to reflect on an
just
engagement between the...
Just a minute, sir. The Speaker of Parliament is also in here. The Chairperson of the NCOP is also here in Tatema Sondo. As you acknowledge us as members, I think it's very important that you also acknowledge the executive authority. Their presence.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Chairperson. Absolutely. And then good afternoon to the Chairperson of the NCOP and the Speaker of the National Assembly. I was not aware. I think there's so much of conversation going on. I missed it. Good afternoon to the Speaker
okay.
and the Chairperson and the members. I'll be going through this presentation and reflecting on an engagement between the Minister of Public Works as well as the Chairperson of the NCOP and Speaker of the National Assembly, and to reflect on that particular engagement and put that into context, and also go through the Public Works project with respect to Parliament and the parliamentary precincts that we talk about, the NCOP rehabilitation project, 90 Plain Street, 100 Plain Street, Cape Store, Style Plain, the granite repairs, as well as the external security enhancement project, the kitchens, and the MP renovation project. Chairperson, I just want to reflect on the fact that in terms of our prestige function, on the next slide, we are responsible for the parliamentary precinct and residential accommodation at the parliamentary villages, including the Acacia Park, Laboria Park, and Pelican Park for members of parliament, among others. And to the next slide, slide 5, I want to reflect on engagements between the Minister of Public Works and Infrastructure and the presiding officers of the National Assembly and the National Council of Provinces, the Chairperson of the NCOP and the Speaker of the National Assembly. There are meetings that take place on a quarterly basis, and the next meeting in this regard is scheduled for the 24th of November 2020. So these engagements are taking place, and these are some of the important issues being discussed at the moment. There's a memorandum of agreement between the two institutions that is being consummated to regulate the relationship between the parties, as well as to define the services that we as a department are providing to Parliament. We also have a program that includes the auditing of all projects that the department is implementing in Parliament, including in the parliamentary villages. This was given rise to by a conversation last year, sometime in November, between the minister and the presiding officers, where concern was expressed about the rationale behind some of the projects, as well as the progress and the cost associated therewith. And we, as a result, appointed an independent audit firm called BDO to conduct an audit so that we could understand the programs in progress and use this as a baseline to cultivate a sound relationship on the basis of a sound understanding of our projects going forward. Now, we're also reviewing the project implementation methodology of all projects in Parliament, including those in the parliamentary villages. So we're seeking to bring the parties together and to work closely together going forward. Now, our presentation, it seeks to give progress on the next slide, Secretariat, on slide number 6. The presentation seeks to give progress a progress report on the current projects being implemented in the parliamentary precinct. And there are some projects that we initiated.
Sorry. Hello. Sorry to interrupt you. Can you switch on your video, please? Can you switch on your video so that we can see who we are talking to? And
can
this
you
is, no. We can't see you clearly. We see the something above your head.
Okay, now, Chairperson, is that better?
Yeah.
Thank you. I'll use my phone to do this and I'll go through the presentation. Thank you, Chair. So what I'm saying is that the presentation gives progress on the current projects being implemented in the parliamentary precinct. And some of these projects were initiated before the project implementation framework was initiated. However, the process of managing the projects is aligned to the draft implementation framework that has been presented and submitted for endorsement to the stakeholders for approval. Now, the project update also constitutes projects in planning as well as those that are in construction stage that are already in progress. And this report will then indicate appropriately. It will also cover some of the questions that was raised in the last meeting during November 2019, and progress will be given in that regard. So, Chairperson, on that note, let me hand over to the head of our prestige unit, Mr. Mzwandile Sazona, to take us through the various refurbishment projects for your information. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Ms. Jawa, is there anything that you want to add?
Chairperson, according to the acting DG, Mr. Sazona is going to walk you through the presentation, so they are not complete yet. Thank you so much.
Okay.
So Mzwandile must step in now and go through the presentation. Am I right, DG?
Okay.
That is correct, the Chairperson, through you. That is correct.
Okay.
The project details will follow now. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And switch on your video, ne? When you...
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I'm trying to project to connect now with my phone because I've got a challenge. I'm not sure whether I'm legible. People can see me.
We can see your stomach.
And your chest. Your stomach and the chest.
Mm-hmm. And now?
And your chest.
Can you check? Just tilt it up. Not down, up. Then we'll see you.
Even now?
Oh, now you see the ceiling. It's too much. You treat it too much. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine.
Thank you very much, Chair. Chair, as the acting DG have alluded that we'll be dealing with some projects that are currently being implemented in Parliament, and one particular project that is on the final stages of planning, which in before the end of this year will be going out on the tender as well. That project will also be on construction. Chair, we have constructed our presentation of this project along the request that was made and the questions that were made in our last engagement last year in October, where we requested to be explicit on the dates of these projects, the amounts involved, and the delays of the projects that are delayed, and what are the financial implications of those projects that were delayed and the causes of those implications. We tried, Chairperson, on the last engagement last year to respond on the written responses, on the questions that were asked on written responses. on some of the critical issues that were asked, basically on the projects, and some of the questions that were asked generally on issues relating to the parliamentary villages, starting from parliamentary villages and spiders, gym facility, and some other issues. But we are welcome to answer some of the questions that probably have not been responded to as from last year. With the NCOP project 10, it's the total refurbishment of the NCOP building. This project started on the 2017, and it was a 24-month project, but now the project has delayed, and the anticipated completion date of this project, the planned one, is on the 20th of December this year. On the issues of financial, the project started at 91 million. About 8 million were put aside for price adjustment, and for additional work in terms of the changing of scope, 7.3 million, and for preliminaries, which are the delays caused by the extension of time caused by certain delays, it costed us 3.2 million. The project is about 85% complete. And this extension, Chair, last time we were asked to tabulate and be specific on this extension, there were 9 extension claims, extension of time, which were approved, which translate to 379 days. These delays, Chair, we tried to put them into perspective. About 32 days of those extensions were delays in terms of instructions to proceed to the refurbishment of 53 Commercial Street, which is where the decanting of the current staff is that has been moved from the NCOP. The other delays were caused by staff relocation issues relating to reluctance to relocate and unavailability of staff, issues where storage were concerns in terms of movement of furniture. That constituted 91 days. Delays due to redesign required after issues were discovered on site, that caused 61 days. Delays due to approval of gas system variation orders, which constituted 58 days. Additional scope of work for testing and backpropping of kitchen slabs, which constituted 21 days. 7 days were due to sonar. 65 days were due to additional scope of work for removal of kitchen screen. 34 days were due to COVID lockdown. Days were due to COVID-19 delays, that translates.
Jay, can you call these people to order?
Those are the delays caused by the those were the delays which resulted to the extension of time, which translated to the 3.2 million. Chair, as the acting DG has alluded to the fact that there is an independent audit that is currently taking place of all the projects that we are implementing in Parliament, including this project, they will then give us a perspective of the legitimacy of these extension of claims, which is something that at times it's natural, it's unavoidable in the construction environment. But they will give us the true extent of those delays, and including how possibly can we avoid this kind of delays in future of how we manage our project. In hindsight, Jay, some of these delays are due to poor planning between ourselves and Parliament, and others were really unavoidable because the manner in which Parliament operates. Now, the other project that we are doing between us and Parliament, the other engagement, is to review our project methodology, wherein Parliament becomes central both from the planning perspective into implementation and handover of the project. So Parliament will now form part of the project team from the design, from the planning design stage up to the end, to avoid some of these delays that are caused by decanting and so on. So those things would have been dealt with in the planning process and design process and taking into consideration on the cost and the timelines that we have to meet. Chair, we go to the second project, which is the Niagara Plain Lift Project refurbishment. The last year when we met in October, this project had some challenges, which we, because we refurbished, Ninety Plain is a building shared between Parliament and this office. So we are refurbishing eight of those left, four on the Parliament side and four on the this office side. Last year we started refurbishing the two left on the Parliament, the this office. Then we followed with the one in Parliament, the two in Parliament. That created some problems because the old two lifts were giving problems all the time, and the two lifts were then decommissioned because we were working on those. That created some serious issues in terms of people movement in Parliament. That is the time when we met last year. We resolved those issues, and those lifts have since been completed. We are now on the second phase of analyzing the other four lifts. We now started, because of that experience, we started refurbishing one lift at a time, left on the side of this office and one left on the side of the Parliament. We are completing now at the end of October. We will then do the second part of the second phase, which is the one left in this office and the other left, the last left in Parliament. We are planning to complete that work at the end of December. Then we will be finished with this particular project. The cost of this project is 9.2 million. It's a project that covers all lifts that Public Works is responsible for in the Western Cape. However, we only focus on the lifts that we are dealing with in Parliament. The 100 Plain Street refurbishment project. This is a fairly new project, Chair. It deals with the this is one project, Chair, we start to implement part of the methodology that we have adopted in Parliament that still has to be signed off by the executive authorities. But for practical purposes, some of the elements of that methodology we are implementing through our engagement with Parliament. So this is one where we see some level of collaboration from the planning stage up to now. This project is the reconfiguration of the ground floor in 90 plane, or 100 plane, sorry, where we'll then see the redesign and reconstruction of the accommodation and also creation of the permit office for contractors, where we then have to make a difference between, where we have to separate the office, the entrance for pedestrians and visitors, and for the contractors. Chair, this has been affected by the COVID, but the commencement date was the 10th of March. We can only hand over the site on the 8th of June, because at the time of the commencement of this project, there was COVID conditions that didn't allow the service providers to be on site. By the 8th of June, we handed over the site, and the completion date is going to be on the 21st of March next year. It's a 12-month project. The contractor is trying to catch up on starting late, and the project is on the about 80 million, and it's on 14% completion. The Cape Stores project, also similar, it's also been delayed due to COVID. The project was handed over on the 8th of June. It's a 12-month project, which also will be completed next year in March. This project is dealing with structural issues and to ensure that there is structural soundness of the structures in Parliament. So it's a filling of the cracks, waterproofing, underpinning, permanent reinforcement of the Cape Store surface, and repairs of the safe aprons and the hard surfaces surrounding the affected buildings, and repairs of the underground and above the ground stormwater systems and water courses. It's at 16% now, and it's still within, it's on track, this one. It cost about 13.5 million, this project, go on to the stalactite granite. This as well, Chair, deals with the structural integrity of our of the building. At the basement, there are some granites, structural granites that needs to be reinforced on the underground parking. This project started in on the 29th of August 2019, and there were delays that are associated with this project. we are on 43% completion of this project, and COVID-19 has also added on the delays. This project now will be completed on the 29th, next year in June in 2021, and the project is costing us 3.1 million. The external security project, Chair, this is a project that was conceptualized as a result of the security assessment report that has been given by the SAPS, which they do that periodically. This is an accumulation of reports that were provided by SAPS over a period of years that were not fully implemented and some were partially implemented. This is the first phase of the implementation of the security measures in Parliament. This deals with the external enhancement. The internal security arrangements has been put for now on hold as a second phase of this project. The idea is that once you first deal with your external security, you are able to deal with a threat coming into Parliament. Then the second phase is to deal with security internal. But having said that, Jay, it doesn't necessarily mean that issues of imminent security in Parliament have been neglected. We have done some lot of work in dealing with internal security issues. Last year, Chair, if you remember, we together with SAPS and Parliament reviewed our internal security equipment, which some of them we found to have been obsolete. We are going to be buying new equipment, and some we have been dealing with through our maintenance contract that we discussed as well in our last meeting. On the external security enhancement project, we are looking at the external perimeter fence. We are looking at the guard huts. We are looking at the entrances into Parliament to ensure some of those entrances are still operating on the old system. We want to make sure those entrances are automated, and those are recommendations that comes from the SAPS report. The planned advert, we are on the planning stage. This is one project I said it's on the planning stage, it's not currently, but we are on the final stages of planning. The delays of this project was really because of the nature of the heritage nature of the building, where we have to receive approvals from the Heritage SARA, Heritage Council, and also the Western Cape one, which deals with the things that are outside the parliamentary precinct, like the new minister. What has been omitted now on this scope of work, Jay, was the one of the recommendations of the police was to create a search park. Then the search park, after the lot of deliberation together with Parliament, we decided that let's not put the search park now as one of the scope of work here. Let's exclude it as part of the scope of work, because there is a lot whether the feasibility that needs to be done on the feasibility of that search park, looking at the limitation of space that we have. But will then enhance the security, people coming into Parliament, including the redesign of the visitors parking. The project is costing will be costing 68.5 million, and with the anticipated date for going out on tender will be the 13th of November. There is just one issue that needs to be resolved, which are the conditions that SARA has put forth for us to go forward, which SAPS is challenging some of those conditions that SARA has put relating to the fence. Once all of those issues are resolved, we will take this matter to the sketch plan committee as the process of the department to check to look at the whether the proposals of what we'll be putting out on tender are compliant with the department's norms and standards, and the costs have been properly have been properly quantified. The second last project, Chair, is the various kitchens in Parliament. This project, Chair, I need to mention that when we first conceptualized the project some few years back, the state of the kitchens was not as it is when we started the project. And secondly, many issues were not really considered. We looked at the casual upgrade of those kitchens without looking at also the equipment, whether the standard of the equipment can still be used, or we still need, when doing the refurbishment, we need to put new kitchen equipment, and those are industrial equipment. Now, the amount that was estimated at the time was about 6 to 7 million. But having collaborated with Parliament and look at the reports from the consultants, the cost moved from that to about 25 million, which then incorporated the redesign, the total redesign, because of and looking at also the new equipment that needed to be purchased for that. Chair, the anticipated date for the advert is on the 30th of October. However, we might hold on a little bit on this project because the executive authority needed a full report on why the cost has escalated. So we are in the process of compiling that report for the executive authorities for this to be properly approved for this project to go ahead. The last project, Chair, is the MP housing renovation. This is a project, Chair, that has been on the cards for many years. The units where the MPs are staying, most of the units are dilapidating. For some few years back, we conceptualized two projects. One was the renovation of the MP units as the normal renovations or maintenance of the units so that they don't deteriorate further. And the second one was the demolition and building of new units. Demolition of the units, the asbestos units, and those that are under the Telkom, sorry, the Eskom servitude, because of the dangers that are there. And because we don't have more units, then it requires that we build about 112 units. That project, Chair, we haven't put it here because we haven't yet get funding for that project. The funding that we have is for planning. For the MP units, this is to renovate 245 units, which are the brick units. 120 of these units are in Acacia Park, 56 of these units are in Laboria Park, and 69 units are in Pelican Park. The initial cost estimates was 110 million. We went out on tender after the proper approvals, and the ultimate cost were 88 million, which was lesser than the 110 estimated cost. The site handover took place on the 27th of September, and the contractor has already commenced on the same date. And we also received the approval for commencement of the construction from the Department of Labor. At this stage, it's the work is about the relocating of people from the unit into Mapane flats, and that has commenced at about 42 units are already vacated. We are expecting some 46 units have been vacated. We're expecting about 5 units as well to be vacated within the next coming 2 weeks. We have, in terms of this program that we had of relocation, some other members have requested to be relocated on the second lot, on the second phase. The first phase is to relocate 50 due to not having enough relocated places. We didn't want to take people outside of the parks, is to relocate within them so that we can maintain cost of relocation. So some have requested to be relocated on the second. We then will then put them on the second lot of the relocation. On the last slide, Chair, these are the units that have been identified. As I said, about 46 have already been vacated, and and the units are quite empty, now empty. We will start the construction from the 27th, start working on the units, 10 units from the 27th of October. The second 10 will start working on them on the 3rd of November. The other 10, which makes the 30, will start working on the 12th of November. And on the 27th of November, we're dealing with another 10. On the 27th of November, we're dealing with another 10. In total, Chair, we'll complete the 50 work. We'll anticipate the completion of the 50 work on the 20th of March, 2021. That's the time we will be relocating back those 20 residents into their units that have been refurbished. And then we'll start with the other 50, which we can provide the detail of that. Sorry, on the last slide, Chair, we put the diagram, the relocation diagram, which is currently what is happening. There's been a slight delay in the implementation of that due to the contractor not being able to secure the contract of the deliveries, of the deliverable, of the delivery companies to deliver the goods to the new unit, to the relocation unit. But that now seems to be on track as the people have relocated. Thank you very much, Chair. I would, if my colleagues, Tembeka and Meme, have other input, they can also do so. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much, colleagues from DPWI. Any additions before we hand over to Parliament? Do you want to make additions?
No additions, Chair. This is from Tembeka Gondel. Thank you.
No addition from myself. Thank you.
Zungu? Okay. Thank you very much, colleagues. Mejawa?
There isn't anything we would add, because that is a product of both the team of Public Works and Parliament. As the acting DG indicated, that we now have regular meetings between the Executive Authority of Parliament and the Ministry of DPWI. And that which Sazana has shared with the meeting is what they shared in the last meeting of the Speaker and the Chair and the Minister and Deputy Minister. And I think the Acting DG has also indicated that we do need the signed service level agreement, which was presented at the last meeting we had, and we have another meeting again on the 3rd of November. All I can confirm is that at least the projects are being project driven. Obviously, what the principals are worried about is just the amount of money that are attached to some of these projects. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you, Metawa. Can I now note members? Members, can you indicate through raise your hand icon and avoid screaming, please, if you want to make an input or seek clarity on any of the issues that has been raised on the presentation.
Chairperson,
you help me? I have. You don't have a raise your hand icon.
No, something happened there. No raise your hand, but when you're giving others an opportunity, I'd like an opportunity, please. Thank you.
Okay.
Good thing.
I have Julius, number one. Number two, Memasho. Number three, Tim. Number four, Honorable Beggy Khatebe. Number five, Honorable Kaiso. Number six, Honorable Singh. In that order, please. Honorable Judas.
Thank you, Co-Chair. There's just something I want to investigate from the department, DPW, and also Parliament. In terms of the wastage and extension of projects and the increased amounts for these projects, I want to know whether there are any risk management plans for these projects, because I would believe that Prestige, and I want an answer from Prestige here, they are in projects. It's their line of duty, mostly. So they should know that in any project planning, risk management plans should be included. If they had it, can we please have it? I take it that they do have these risk management plans, because if immediately if you see this a threat of COVID, there must be a risk management plan to say, how will we deal with this? What can we do and what can we not do? In terms of other projects, it just baffles my mind that we have to come back every time and say, no, this happened because of this happened. If a contractor cannot do something and he sees there's a risk, the risk management team or the project management team should see this and mitigate against this risk to reduce the risk or just to eradicate this risk totally. I'll focus on the other one, the last one, the houses for MPs. MPs must move in 4 months' time. And when MPs come back, they will expect to get the progress report. And we don't want to know about, no, this happened, that is why you cannot move in. It happens every time. And members cannot be inconvenienced because there's no risk management plans for this department. So, Co-Chair, if Parliament and the department can tell us, do they have these risk management plans, and can we please have them sent to us via email ASAP? If they do not have it, they must please explain to us why they don't have it, because I will be deeply, deeply dissatisfied if a project manager do not have a risk mitigation plan. And it seems to me that we do not have these plans in order. It is now common that in private sector it's being used, mostly used in public sector in our country, that project management must include risk management. We do not do risk management if we see all these things happening. Most of our projects, 90% of our projects, is being extended, and this happened and this happened. We cannot deal with this. There's no such thing as we could not deal with this. Show us what was your risk management plan in terms of everything. You can do anything when you have a risk management plan. Thank you, Co-Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Julius. Honorable Marshall.
Co-Chair, good day to everyone. Co-Chair, and also good day to the executive authority. We would like to welcome the presentation by the acting, if I'm correct. I just wanted, Co-Chair, to just a little bit to go back to page 7 of the presentation, including page 8 of the presentation. Now, the point here that I'm going to raise is page 7. If they can flag it there, it will then help me a lot.
Sipho, mute. Thank you.
Thank you very much. If you look at this slide, Co-Chair, the original contract, it was valued at 91. And now everything were planned to, I can see on this page. Now, my main problem on this page, Coach, why I'm calling it back is that, you see, there is a problem of, I agree with the executive authority when they were saying, why do we have to have put more money on the project, which were planned for a certain amount of money and now is escalating. And if you listen to the presenter somewhere on page 80 was saying, and in other spaces, there was a problem of staff, not them wanting to relocate, which is not something that one should really indeed
we can't be held ransom by people who don't want to relocate. There must be a policy that guides them. If they do this, if they do that, somebody is going to be liable for certain things. I mean, 91 days is too much for people to move in a certain, from a certain department to another department. But anyway, I'm not going to dwell on that so much, but I wanted to come to the point. The presenter, in any project, there are five major project management fundamentals that are systems that will always analyze the project, which must handle everything that you do. At your project initiation, you define the problem, you determine the project feasibility, your activities are at planning stage, you have control mechanism in place, you have your project scheduling where it can help you to understand the problem in time, you have your management system in place to analyze what is going on the project. Now, what are your controls? What are your three major controls on project method that you have? I don't think Parliament can have this type of a situation where we get this and that. I think we need to fix our house. Our house must be in order. As members of Parliament, we can agree that we will be putting money in one project because there's this and that. We understand the COVID issue. It is not something that somebody wanted it to be there. We understand some of the delays, but some of the delays are not necessary. People must put controls in place so that we can be able to see what is happening. I mean, each and every project has 9 area of knowledge, which they call PMBOK. The PMBOK has everything in it which helps implementers of the project to make sure that they follow the correct steps in any project. So we are not going to agree with that situation. And I think it is going to be good. Let me come back to say, I'm happy that I had Uri. The department is now going to be a meeting with the parliament in other meetings. I had the acting secretary talking about the conducive environment, which is now coming in, which is going to help us to move forward. But remember, we can't be putting money in one project because of certain smaller things. We're not going to agree to that, Chikoche. People must start to realize that we are wasting money for our country. And that money belongs to all of us. We must develop other activities somewhere else. And the way we are staying as members of parliament is not, you know, anyway, thank you, Chair. I think they've helped me. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mema Cho. Honorable team, you're next. Right,
thank you, Chair. Chair, and a warm welcome to the speaker and the chairperson. It's good to have you with us. Chair, just a couple of issues that I'd like to raise. And I'm going to be looking at... that's a bit better. let me first go, Chair, to slide 13. Of the presentation, and it relates to 3.6, which is the external security enhancement. Chair, I would like to have some further explanation on why we need this, just to go right back to the reasons why we need this. It says that all entrances and gates and booms are mechanically operated and electronically operated. Why is there a need for both of those things? Then there's installation of an anti-ramming devices. Now, when last did somebody try to ram Parliament? When last did somebody try to ram a vehicle through Parliament? And then we have a very widely think extension of the existing perimeter fence to meet the SAPS minimum requirements. What do the SAPS want to do? Do they want to fence off 2 blocks around Parliament? There's no explanation of what is required there. Then construction of structural canopies at all vehicle entrances. What is the need for that? And so on it goes. We need to know, Chair, why it is necessary to spend 68.6 8 million rand at Parliament, where Parliament, as far as I'm concerned, is actually fairly secure at the moment. And, you know, Chair, you will know that at Acacia, there were one or two complaints about security. A massive amount of money was spent on a huge new gatehouse area, and at the moment it doesn't even work. So it looks like we're spending a huge amount of money at Parliament, and I'm not entirely sure that there's actually a need for it. Now, you know, the President yesterday explained that we need 100 billion rand to create 800,000 jobs. So surely we as Parliament should be trying to save every single cent we can to contribute it back to the fiscus for the economic recovery plan. I'm not trying to make another speech here, but I mean, we need to be saving money, and I'm just concerned about what the security, the need of this is. And then also, the speaker from DPWR spoke about the need for a specialized search park. We only need that at SONA. What on earth do we want it for as a, I know it's not part of this, but as a permanent, you know, a permanent structure. Chair, the other thing I wanted to go into is Acacia and Laboria and Pelican. Chair, the question is that, and this is a question I know I raised in the media last year, in the COVID environment, or so earlier this year, can we really afford to spend all this money on the parliamentary villages? And it was frankly just ignored. But the point is I'm under the impression that there is a one-size-fits-all for all the homes, all the residences at the Acacia, at the parliamentary villages. Now, I do know that many, there are units that are in severe need of maintenance. But my unit, for instance, I've asked that it be removed from this entire project because my unit needs no work. And so I don't know why DPWR wants to come and waste money in my unit where, frankly, I may have one cracked tile, but the rest of the unit is absolutely fine. I don't want to take money from the taxpayer because my unit is fine. And I'm just saying, has there been, so the question is, has there been an individual assessment of every single unit in the parliamentary villages, or is it a one-size-fits-all? Because there are many units that are absolutely fine and don't need upgrading. Then the other question I want to ask either the Secretary to Parliament or DPWR, I'm not sure who controls this, but I've also received information, Chair, that there are certain maintenance contractors of Parliament that are involved in ongoing maintenance in Parliament and have renewable contracts, and that their contracts are renewed from year to year without any due procurement process being followed. So I would like the Secretary, either the Secretary or DPWR, whoever is responsible for the appointment of those contractors, for routine maintenance, to please agree to give this committee a list of all those contractors that do routine maintenance at Parliament, what the nature of their contract is in terms of when it gets renewed, and what process is followed in order to renew those contracts. That is what I'd like, Chair. Thank you very much. Those are my questions.
Chair? Thank you very much. Honorable Gicha Debe, you're next.
No, thank you, Chairperson, and afternoon all the members and the members of the staff which is presenting today. And then first of all, Chair, I'm not going to use a video, because where I'm seated, I'm at Laboria Park. And then if I can use a video, I'm going to be disconnected as quickly
okay.
as possible. So what I want to raise here, as the MP's houses are being renovated, whereupon, is there going to be any enhancement of the reception in the various parts? Because as we speak now, is that the issue of the hybrid system of Parliament workings is going to be a permanent feature. So, but it means that we have to work at the parts where we are. Is this part, is there any plan, whatever, to enhance the reception in the parts where we are? Because on Tuesday, I had to use three different gadgets to get into a meeting. I could not log in because I think that it is the issue. There was an issue with the issue of the reception. And then number two, Chair, on the side of the public works, I really appreciate the presentation which was made today. When I calculated the amount of the money which is going to be spent on these renovations, it translates to about 293 million rand. Out of that money, I want to ask a very simple question. As Parliament, we must contribute to the employment of the unemployed youth in South Africa. So in this contract, which we are having here, which are in front of us, how many of these contracts have been set aside for the historically disadvantaged enterprises? Because once any contract reaches 30 million plus, there must be a set aside for historically disadvantaged land companies. Was that done? And then how many people were employed in these contracts? So that we fight this issue of unemployment, the Parliament must make its contribution. So I think that what is lacking in the presentation are the numbers. How many people are employed? How many of these companies are women-owned companies? I can see that we are dealing with the issue of the lifts, renovation of the lifts. When you look at the issue of the lifts in the country, that one is a monopoly type of industry. What did the public works do to ensure that the historically disadvantaged people become part of that? Because I think these projects must do that. As the president said yesterday, that infrastructure build projects is the one which is going to drive the growth of this economy. So I think that even in the areas where there are monopolies, we must bring in the new people in, the new players in. I think that we must get an answer for that. On the other issue, I'm very happy that the public works is the one which manages the issues of the build council professions. We know very well that even during the World Cup, the country spent trillions of rands putting up infrastructure. But what happened is that our candidate engineers who were at various universities, they could not get experiential training because there was that and that. So in this project of Parliament, how many candidate engineers have been roped in so that they get experiential training so that at the end of the day, they are able to get the qualification so that they improve the quality of life of the youth of our country? And then really, I think that those aspects must be put, if they are not ready yet, I think that they must send us the figures. How many women-owned companies are participating in this project? How many employment opportunities did they create? How many people did they help with experiential training in particular so that they get qualifications out of that? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, members. It is on purpose that I allowed you to speak without really interrupting you and trying to direct you. But I'm appealing, members, that when we deal with this thing of public works and infrastructure, Department of Public Works and Infrastructure, we must not start new things like we are starting. It's for the first time that we start engaging with the Department of Public Works and Infrastructure. The intention here is to get progress in terms of what we have raised in our previous meeting last year, October. Thank you very much. I'm not trying to limit you, honorable members that are coming next. Honorable Kaiso, you're next.
Thank you very much, Chair. Let me appreciate the presentation made by the Department of Public Works. And also let me express a word of speedy recovery to Honorable Khai and Honorable Nyambi, and wish them a speedy recovery where they are so that they can join us tomorrow. I don't have many questions, but I was attracted by something called delay in one slide, more than three delays or close to four. And also taking that with the budget allocation for the project, which was said to be something over 89 or so million rands, But I just want to check, because every successful project is being determined by its completeness on time. Now, given the fact that there will be these delays in different stages here, don't you think that perhaps the total amount projected for this project is actually gonna exceed what we are having now because of those 4 to 5 delays that I've seen there on the slides? I just want to check there, because otherwise we may be given a wrong impression around the issue of budget there, whereas there are a number of delays when you read that in the statement. So I just want to check that. Doesn't the Department of Public Works think that we are going to actually spend more than what we are reading on the slides here because of those delays? Thank you very much.
Sorry, my apologies, I was muted. Honorable Maina Lesuma, you're next. Thank you, Kaiso.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Good afternoon, the EAs and the Parliament Technocrats and our honorable colleagues. And thank you, Chair, for the opportunity. And I must declare that I'm not going to put my video on because of the connectivity challenge where I am. Having said that, Chair, and I think you did assist some of us to say that it's an update from our last October 2019 presentation that we received. Having said that, Chair, I want to deal with the issues of the escalation cost, which in a normal happenings of the project implementation should be called fiscal dumping. But the point that I'm dragging at, Chair, is that has Parliament also checked, or Public Works, yes, checked the legal implications of the escalation costs, which are more than the one that have been foreseen, that other tenderers would have said that if they knew that the escalation costs will be more than the acceptable percentage of the increase, they would have also tendered, or their pricing would have matched that, notwithstanding the COVID-19, but I'm saying there's a possibility where I'm seated, although I'm not an engineer and a specialist in terms of issues of tenders, but that's one chair that I'm raising, that probably if it can be looked at, it might, from where I'm seated, assist. The other one, Chair, is that the other one, which in terms of economic transformation, of making sure that the disadvantage economic active in companies or individuals have been left off. But I think that I'll put it as a suggestion that moving forward in our tender specification also must cater for that, even the candidate engineers, in terms of a job training, as it were, based on their qualifications requirements, that it should be inserted if it's not, so that we our young people are also, they get away in terms of being qualified and be able to register with the professional organizations, as it were, based on their technical professionality, as it were, Chair. But having said that, Chair, I think there's more that needs to be done, and the close monitoring of the one that I'll term it as a potential wasteful expenditure, as it were, in a layman, notwithstanding whatever reasons you may take. And I will agree with Honorable Marshall to say that your project management also does incorporate the risk, predetermined, unforeseen predetermined challenges or delays that can be incorporated if you follow the proper, as it were, in terms of the school project management, as it were. But also practically, we should acknowledge that it might not be possible, but we must be given a convincing explanation to say, are we not wasting taxpayers' money? We equally ourselves also are taxpayers. Other than that, Chair, thank you very much, and I appreciate the presentation in terms of the status progress, as it were. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Can I, before I give to the speaker, can I check co-chairperson if you want to comment on the presentation?
No, the question, you had me.
Mr. Singh, I'm sorry.
Thank you, Chairperson. You're looking lovely today, so you have to ignore me here, because I don't have my tie on. Well, good afternoon to you, Chairperson. No problem.
Okay.
And to the presiding officers and all colleagues, and thank you for the presentation. I think what you said, Honorable Chairperson, in passing is that, and Honorable Lesoma, I mean, this is something that's been on the cards for a year and a half. So the project, what the project entailed has already been determined. However, we need to ask questions on how the project is progressing. And there's no doubt that COVID has impacted on all of us in many ways, morally, emotionally, financially, etc. And we would expect there would be some COVID costs to any project. What I would really like to know is that in the presentation, we saw some costs which said COVID delay without costs, and then COVID delay with costs. So perhaps at some future date, we should get what were those costs that were directly related to COVID. And I think in this regard, Chairpersons, the audit on the legitimacy of the extent of the costs or the amount of the costs will be very, very helpful to us. So that's the one thing I'd like to know, if they have an answer now or in the future. The second thing is the elephant in the room question. Honorable Chairperson, you have served on many committees. I've served on many committees over many years. And we always hear about public works as a department not being able to fulfill obligations. So much so that many departments like education and even Parliament, the OSTP, ASTP at one stage even said, perhaps we should be doing our own projects. Now, I'm very pleased to see that there's a coming together of minds between Parliament and public works. And I'd like to know if that relationship is going to be sustained in the future so that the taxpayer can benefit from whatever projects are being conducted at Parliament. My just last two questions would be the visitor center. I don't know if we've got a project at the visitor center because, you know, the last time I visited the visitor center, it's not conducive to receiving the type of visitors that we receive. So I don't know if it's part of a project plan. It needs to be modern and, you know, really efficient in terms of dealing with visitors coming through. The contractors at the parks, I think, Chairperson, you will recall that contract was not renewed. It was on a temporary basis because of COVID. To how far have we gone? I think it's Parole or somebody else that's contracting the park. And I must say this whole issue of variation orders, which Honorable Soma spoke about, is a very, very dangerous thing. You know, you start a tender with 100,000 and eventually it ends up at 1 million because there's collusion between contractor and the person who wants the work done, and they just keep on adding variation orders. Lastly, Honorable Speaker and presiding officers, our squash courts. When is that project going to be put on the table? It's not going to cost us much. It's good exercise for us. So let's see the squash courts being improved. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Singh. Honorable Speaker, you are the last one to contribute or to comment on the presentation.
Thank you, Chairs.
Honorable Speaker.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Mm-hmm. Perhaps we must be forthright. We are not part of this because it was nice. It is because we started fighting before Membete left. We actually had two meetings on this with the minister, then minister, and with the president, because we felt that what was happening, one, on Parliament itself by Public Works was out of order. Two, what was happening in the parks was also out of order. We are public representatives, and therefore we should at all times be worried about how the money is spent. I want to repeat it here for the third time, May Acting Speaker.
Parliament is not going to spend 25 million in refurbishing the kitchens of Parliament in my name. Not if we can go in and look at the systems and get good industrial kitchens and whatever for far less than that. It's not going to happen in my name. And I think every time I say it, the next time we meet up with Public Works, they insist. It cannot happen because it is not something that we can explain to South Africans. Secondly, it is not, we are not the first parliament that provides temporary, even if it is your temporary, you can read it into the rest of the 5 years of the term of the member, accommodation for members. Other countries do. That resident, when the member is on the job, is not supposed to be in. The truth of the matter is that with the money that Public Works spends, we should all be living in luxurious houses, but we're not. And therefore, I would like to be convinced in Tate Sazona and in Tate MPS that in fact you had one of us saying to you, this is what would be ideal for members of parliament living with their families in those parliamentary villages. Not an idea that comes from Public Works and gets imposed on us and spend the money and we carry the bad name of living in luxuries, which members don't live in luxuries. You've already made a mistake. You put in alarms and whatnot, which are useless. You spent monies on things that were not needed by members and are not used by members. I think Tim just referred to an expensive gate which now does not work. And that is why when we approached the president, we said we are prepared to take over our maintenance budget. And he agreed. He agreed. So the future structure of parliament must have one, a qualified CFO, two, somebody in finance who is a contract lawyer, somebody who will keep an eye there. The facilities manager must be properly skilled and we must have somebody who will be good there to do everything that Memastro and Melisoma say we must do because it is doable. Any of us who's done project management knows what needs to be done there. Parliament does not have that. And therefore, the mistake, to be honest, as far as I'm concerned, is both on Public Works continue to take us for a ride, and from Parliament continue to rely on Public Works, who takes us for a ride. But I must say that since the new minister has come in, these meetings have helped, because those quarterly meetings, we scrutinize and we want to correct things. We want to correct things because, Tina, we don't want to have things behind our names. Therefore, I think into the future we will be able to get in there. The houses must be clean. The houses must be serviceable. None of us want luxury from the state. We want to live in clean, properly maintained houses. We don't want money to be squandered in our name. So I just felt that I should say that. On the issues of Parliament is supposed to, what do we call it, that thing where they say that it is one of the...
NKPA speaker, national key point.
National key point. Now, national key point, when you look at what has been happening, we've not been complying on a number of things. But that does not mean that your security upgrade should be frightening the people. I've seen the parliament in Chile, I've seen the parliament in Argentina. I don't think we want our parliaments to look like that, completely built against, protected against the civilians. It looks ugly. It actually creates animosity between the people who have sent you into the institution itself. But we need to make sure that things that happen sometimes, especially on the NCOP side, thefts, disappearance of things, that we can bring it down. We have suggested with the Minister of Public Works that perhaps what we need to do in our contracting scheme of things, that we must have somebody from the heritage site who can advise so that things are fast-tracked. On these delays, in fact, some of the delays should not even be appearing here. The delays in the NCOP, ladies and gentlemen, have nothing to do with COVID. When I walked in 2014, you started working on the NCOP. You're still working on it now. In 2014 up to 2018 and 19, there was no COVID. So the escalation, and that is why we started saying we need to have get some expertise there, and we need to not be informed of what is happening on our terrain, but to participate in what is happening on Parliament, because the money is spent on our name, and therefore we need to be more active than we are. We are on the way there, we are not yet there. We need to tinker with the structure of Parliament to get all the expertise we need. And it will not be out of order, because the day-to-day maintenance we need to get into. Now, I heard one member saying there are these automatic contracts which are... May you will give us a report on that. I don't think there is any contract that must automatically be renewed. I don't think so. We need to be given a report on that, if that is so, ma'am, and I hope you will respond to the committee, because we must renew contracts because there is good motivation for us to do so. We must have a contract lawyer, Parliament, who will prioritize the interest of Parliament, because these escalations in cost cannot be done if we are on our toes. We've had instances in the past 5 years where sittings of the NCOP would be interrupted because the contractors are going on, and we would have to scream. So there is a complete gap between what Public Works understands Parliament to be and what our work is all about. And there is no contract that we will enter into the future without us knowing that the contractors are aware of our program, and therefore we would not have these unnecessary things that we have delayed, we have refused. Now, Secretary to Parliament, if any member of your staff refuses to leave the office because the contractors are at work and we incur costs, that member must be liable. I cannot refuse to move and cause the institution to spend millions because it is about me. So we need to start to crack the whip, because all of us are supposed to save every penny. So I want to agree with members that it cannot be done on our watch. We must save money. We must divert money out there into the street, not towards ourselves. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Speaker. Tate Masondo, do you want to comment? Are you fine?
I'm covered. Just to emphasize that in an ongoing way, we really striving to improve the situation for the better. And there's a sense that we're making some progress, but we'll continue to contest and to fight against things that we don't think are proper.
Okay. Thank you very much. Members and the Speaker, thanks for the input that you have made. And I've been covered in some of the issues that you have raised as the progress expected from us. Expected from Public Works and the infrastructure. Amongst other issues, which I thought they are low-hanging fruits, and by this time we will have had completed the issue of the gym equipment, because there was this problem, whether is it Public Works infrastructure that must do it? Was it a parliament that must do it? Because halls have been converted into gyms in the villages, and that was done around 2015. And they are just there and are not utilized. They are running short of the gym equipment, equipment. By now, I thought you would have spoken about that, and I was expecting to get a report in terms of that. The issue of the, I'm covered in terms of the alarms. The issue of the intercom, I mean, that system is there, and I think whoever is responsible, whether it's a tender or whatever, is being paid and is not utilized. You can't call the entrances, the police at the entrances, because it's not functional. For several years, it has not been functional. And what is that? I don't think it's something that needs billions and billions of money. The other issue which was raised was the issue of the garden. The contractor that has been appointed to do work in the villages for gardening, because they are just making noise, cutting soil instead of grass, and they are not using land mowers. They are using grass trimmers, and it was a serious concern to say we are just doing things for the sake of doing, because that person must be paid, and we couldn't understand. And members have raised other issues that are in relation to that contract. So we expected a report in terms of that, because we thought we were making you aware of other things that you might have not been aware of. I think I also want to agree, I'll emphasize one thing, the issue of design. Public Works and Department of Public Works and Infrastructure, you are an implementing agent. So whatever you're going to implement, you are implementing on behalf of Parliament. So those houses that you're going to build, you must be mandated by Parliament, and the design, the needs, the requirements, the specifications must come from Parliament. You come with your technical expertise. So I think we must be able to meet each other halfway and be able to work together. I saw the hand of Mejawa, and after her, I'll give over to Public Works. Mejawa?
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I just thought, because members raised the issue of the contract, I just want to reassure the meeting that, remember earlier when I made an input to say the creative authority met with the minister, and in that they were able to say we need to have a service level agreement, something that we didn't have, meaning that all the contracts currently happening are all under Department of Public Works and Infrastructure. In the last meeting in July, the creative authority, as well as the minister and the deputy minister, requested that they be given all the contracts, and that was done by colleagues from Public Works, because they do want to look at when the people are contracted, what were they contracted for, and what have they delivered. So I just thought it's important to raise that. And in that meeting also, the creative authority and the minister are also preoccupied with the cost escalations, like it was indicated, that I think we've had three meetings already, and from my side, so we do not have any management of renewal of contracts as Parliament. As the Speaker indicated, Parliament does not have an infrastructure CAPEX in its baseline. What Speaker and Chair and the Ministers are trying to do is to make sure that at least what we could get is just the budget that deals with routine and daily maintenance. We don't even have that. So that's something that they're looking at. With respect to security, I do want to share with the committee. The I think the speaker has addressed it actually. I don't want to know. The speaker has covered it in terms of the NKPA, because that's the reason why there's a whole security thing. And the speaker has indicated, indeed, honorable members, 2015, 2016, there were thefts outside cars, there were thefts inside the NCOP offices, because people are scaling over the wall that is behind NCOP. Yes, that matter it's a bit quieter now because we had raised it with SAPS, but they did raise the issue of insecurity around Parliament. Thank you, Chairperson. I just want to reassure this meeting that since the Executive Authority and the Minister are meeting quarterly, these matters are definitely coming under their eye. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Can I hand over to Public Works for responses?
Chairperson, thank you very much. I will switch on my camera as well.
Okay.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Chairperson, I will ask my colleagues from the Prestige and Cape Town Regional Office to deal with the operational questions, and then I will wipe up the rest that's remaining. Thank you very much, Chair. Swai?
Thank you.
Thank you very much, DG. Thank you very much, Chairperson. I will invite as well my colleagues from Cape Town to help with some of the questions. Chair, I would address some of the issues raised by Honorable Team on the security issue. Public Works, as I've said in my presentation, our implementation is based on the report of the security assessment report that was presented to us by SAPS, which subsequently has also been discussed with Parliament and ministers that were concerned in 2017, wherein we were requested to expedite the security measures in Parliament. That report identifies some security threats, and as Public Works, our responsibility is to ensure that we implement. The issue of the search park, as we said, together with Parliament, when we did our assessment, we took out the issue of search park in the scope of work, precisely for those reasons that, one, it's a limitation of space, and two, that that space where search park was also going to be put in would have limited the space for parking because of the limitation of space within Parliament, and that the issue of search park is not such an urgent issue. It only arises really when there is sonar, which we can still have the temporary search park. And the logistics around the issue of the search park in terms of people where they will be searched and how they get into Parliament. So we then removed temporarily out of the scope of work of this project. On contractors that year on year...
Sorry, sir. I've been reminded by IT that you are requested to switch on your video.
Sorry, Honorable Chair. On the issue of the contractors that are doing routine maintenance of their contracts being renewed, I must mention that Public Works have a contract with one company called AFFSM, ACAS, Facilities Management. ACAS, in return, will then have subcontractors that are doing various work. So Public Works have one contract, which is get renewed once that contract comes to an end. And that contract is coming to an end now in November, and we are in the process of acquiring other service providers and having other means. So Public Works has not renewed contracts with subcontractors because we don't have any obligation. But what has happened in the past, if I can put a context, what I think is the issue around. There is a provision in law in terms of the Labor Relations Act, which is Section 197, which seeks to promote vulnerable workers when there is a change of contract. And I know in many instances, a new service provider that comes aboard that we contract with will then engage with the old contractor in terms of taking those contractors and their workers in order to ensure continuity of work and also to ensure a security of tenure, especially for the vulnerable workers. we have a similar situation with workers, the contractors, the workers that were contracted by the cleaning services, whose contract, the contract that we have with ACAS is coming to an end, by which then means that the contract of those contract workers is coming to an end. And some of the members of parliament, rightfully so, approached us to ask us what is going to happen with these vulnerable members who during this COVID have not earned salaries, and now the contract is coming to an end and they will lose their jobs. Now, as a responsible state, we also have to intervene to certain instances to protect those vulnerable workers. We provided a solution in terms of invoking Section 197 for any contractor that we're taking over to ensure that the welfare of those vulnerable workers, cleaners, is also taken care of. But that's something that we'll negotiate once we have the new. But as a service provider, the company have to compete with other companies in terms of getting contracts. However, having said so, we will provide a list of the company, which is ACAS, and we'll request ACAS to give us the list of all subcontractors that ACAS has used to do routine maintenance. But ACAS has really started about 6 years back with us with a 5-year contract, which has been renewed for a year, and which now is coming to an end, and we will be going out on a tender for a new contract. I will leave on the issue of Acacia Park and Laboria Park. What happened when we conceptualized the, we did an assessment, and unfortunately we couldn't get access to all the units. Then we developed a general scope of work that needs to be done on units of a similar nature. We use that as an instrument of going to tender with one provisor that once the contractor is appointed, we'll do remeasurements once the units are empty, and to look at what extent that particular unit has to be renovated. So the renovation of this unit is not going to be a unitary thing. It's going to be determined by the assessment done before, once the member moves out and before the contract starts working. For units where there is nothing that needs to be done, we'll do nothing. For units where they have to change only two or three things, we'll change the two or three things. If Honorable Tim doesn't want his units to be touched, it's in good order, we will oblige by that. We won't pay a cent for not doing anything in that unit. For issues raised by Honorable Khadebe on the reception at the parks, it's an issue of the network. I would like to know which networks have some issues. It won't be part of the contract. This is an issue relating to Vodacom, Cell C, MTN, or Telkom. So it's a network issue. But as public works, we can engage those networks to see how they can improve their network connectivity within the parks. I will speak to my colleagues at the parks for us to have the networks that seems to be having a problem with reception. On the issue of companies, on the projects that we had, how many companies that are black-owned and female-owned that have been empowered through this process, and those that have been get exponential training. With the routine maintenance contract, FM contract in Parliament, we implemented our EPWP principles, where they were required to employ unskilled labor, where they were required to take about 15 small companies for development, both training at work and also training at the academy. And also we required them to employ youth through the YCS scheme. So we will provide that information and also information relating to other contracts that we have, how many of these black companies and some that are black owned that have been. This also touched to the same questions that were raised by Honorable Lesoma as well in that respect. I will hand over to my colleagues to deal with some of the technical issues relating to the controls in place relating on the project management and our risk management plans. But before and also cost relating to the COVID by Honorable Singh.
Before you hand over to your colleague on the issue of Honorable, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
On the issue that was raised by Honorable Tim, I think he was not saying the problem is only about his, it's personal, it's about his unit. The question was, did you make an assessment per unit in terms of the needs analysis so that you don't just say overall you're going to renovate all these and not knowing what is needed? And some of the things I know we report which are not in good state in our units, we have been reporting. Those are the problems that we're dealing with. But I think the question was, Tim, you'll help me if I misrepresent you. Were you able to make an assessment, the need assessment, in terms of your renovation program? Can you talk to that before you hand over to your...
I've tried to explain. Okay, another team.
Sorry, Chair, you asked for some assistance there. Look, I hear the response from Mr. Suzoma. The issue that, and once again, Honorable Singh said we must monitor progress. So Mr. Suzoma confirmed that the units were assessed on the basis that every unit should require X rehabilitation and maintenance, and then after that, a process would be engaged. Engaged in terms of inspecting empty units to see what they actually require. And I think that's where what has been exposed there is that there's a lack of information there in the presentation. Because how can this committee be assured, Chair, that on the one hand you have an expected cost per unit, an expected assessment per unit, and then in actual terms you go and look at the actual units and find that, no, actually there's not much to be done in this unit. How are we sure that the contractor will not just say, well, all of these things need to be fixed, when in fact they don't be fixed? Who comes in there and does an independent assessment with the Department of Public Works to see what actually needs to be done? Because it is just too easy for the contractor to argue that a lot of maintenance needs to be done when it doesn't need to be done. What independent person, whatever, is going to assist with the assessment of each unit when they empty to make sure that they actually do need work? Once again, it's about cost saving. We should be the ones that lead in that. This committee should be the ones that lead on that. Thank you, Chair. Okay, that's it, Chair. Thank you.
Yes, you can talk as well.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Chair. I think I can assure Honorable Team that we have consultants that have developed the scope of work. And as I've said, that some other units, we didn't have access to know exactly what needs to be done. And also in other units, which were assessed some few years back, probably 2 or 3 years back, they might have deteriorated. So we might even have change the scope of work. But basically, with our project managers, the consultants, we will ensure that the contractor is not the one that says, this is the work that needs to be done. It will be our own people that determine at the end of the day what needs to be done in those units.
Before I hand over, I give you Honorable Lusoma, because I want us to deal with the issues that you have raised and be satisfied with them before we hand over to the next respondent. The issue of the network, Yes.
I'm sorry, Chair, you may proceed, then I'll take the cue from you. Thank you so much.
You raised the issue on the network, and the Honorable Chairperson of the NCOP, that Masondo, you'll remember when you were dealing with the state of readiness in the NCOP. Major was part of the meeting, and this thing has came very strongly. And we were promised that there will be engagements with Public Works and the relevant authority, because where they are supposed to install is a prerogative of the of Public Works and infrastructure. So the commitment that we got from Metlawa is that it will take within a week or so, they will have those engagements with Public Works and consult the service providers in terms of Vodacom, MTN, Cell C, Telkom, and others. Because an example was given by Honorable Gillon, what her experiences has been throughout this lockdown period. And I want as the committee responsible for Parliament to be briefed, to be informed in as far as the progress is concerned by Mejawa when your time comes. But also Public Works, if there's something, because from what I hear you saying, you haven't done anything else. You still you hear it from us now for the first time. From what I'm hearing, you are still going to engage and see what you can do, unless I'm misrepresenting you. Melisuma.
No, thank you, Chair. You know what is my difficulty of listening to the response is that it seems like Public Works, in terms of various units where they report to or give progress report, they don't talk to each other. But what Honorable Speaker has said, I will totally agree with it. And I think Public Works, unfortunately, I must say this, they've been so used to do things for themselves, not for their clients. In this instance, it's Parliament. Because there's a difference from where I'm sitting, Chair. Rehabilitation, upgrade, and maintenance. And Parliament doesn't have a capital budget, as it were. So I'm saying there is something wrong the way the old order of working of Public Works, and also for them appreciating the new administration approach and its oversight, and also its hands-on in terms of ensuring that Public Works does what the client, which is Parliament, wants. That's one, unfortunately. But two, Chair, I've been advised that in terms of in the meeting of the Chief Whips Forum, of multi-party Chief Whips Forum, same Public Works did say that they are working on the issue of villages connectivity. They are in engagement with Public Works. But the presenter to our question says that he wants to find out from Honorable Tim which village is that. And I'm not too sure whether, if we're talking to Public Works, are there any many Public Works or one Public Works? Because we must be assisted on that. So I'm saying probably there are questions that if I was him, unfortunately I'm not an official, I would say that I'll go back and come with written responses so that one department speaks in one voice. Secondly, Chen, if we're saying disadvantaged economic companies or individuals, we don't necessarily only mean blacks. We mean also women, youth, and people with disabilities. And also blacks, don't forget that you've got your colors and you're Indian. But those ones were at main benefiting. Because also what he didn't tell us, what informs the extension of the contract of 1 year of the existing contract before you go outside for tender as it were. Because we would also want to appreciate what informs the extension, unless there's a technical, legal issue that you find yourself having a difficulty, then you are forced to extend. Unfortunately, I'm not creating a dialogue. other questions will follow in writing. Hopefully, they will be responded in writing as well, Chair. Thank you very much for the opportunity.
Thank you. Back to you, sir.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Chair, maybe I need to explain how I understood the question from that I was responding to of Honorable Khadeb. It was relating to reception at the parliamentary village. It was not relating to data availability. Now, he mentioned the fact that he has to change gadget when he has to come to this meeting because this network was not working. That's what I was responding to, Chair, that the issue of network, it's a responsibility of the network service provider, which is Vodacom, MTN, for them to be able to put towers around that area for the reception to be quite clear. It is different, Chair, to the issue that has been raised that we have been in discussion at the Chief Whip's Forum, that has been raised at the Member Support Forum, which relates to accessibility of data for members to be able to access that and access this video conferencing and so on within the parliamentary pages. So I was not responding to that, Chair. I just was first wanted to explain that. Maybe the Acting Secretary will take it further. There has been engagement. We have presented to the Member Support Forum in terms of who is responsible for that data, because Parliament is entirely responsible for it. We also propose that a cheaper option of providing fiber into the data is to contract with any of the service providers who will do that free of charge, than Public Works having to spend 10 million just by providing data, just by providing fiber, and yet that fiber is not being used. It's going to be another wasteful and fruitless expenditure on the side of Public Works. It's a matter of both us and Parliament to discuss that issue. So I just wanted to explain, Chair, I wasn't responding to that part. I was responding to the part of availability of the reception in the parliamentary village, which is something that we can take up with the. I will invite my colleagues to Chair to deal with some other matters that have also been raised. Thank you, Chair. Tembega.
Before Tembega, can the host please help in lowering the hands of the members? Because I don't know, I see hands are up. I don't know if there are these are new things that they want to speak on. But I think they've been raising hands then. Honorable Singh, is it something new?
Yes, Chairperson, I only raised my hand now. I found the gadget. I just want to know, Honorable Chairperson, on the question...
will come after Honorable Singh.
Thank you, Chairperson. I just want to know with regard to renovation at our residences. Can Public Works not provide us? I asked this question in so many fora before. Us who are occupying those residences, we are tenants there, we are... What is going to be done to those units? And then we ourselves, Ms. Mashlangu will say, listen here, why are you doing A and B when that's not necessary? You should do D and E. So that's the one good thing that we can monitor. Secondly, is when the scope of work is decided on, we can be the eyes and ears of the taxpayer and say, you know, in our unit, they're supposed to do 10 things, but they only did 4 and they've charged government so much. So can they provide us who are occupying the residence with that information? And we'll know what's going to be done, when it's going to be done. We don't need to know the costs for now, but we'll ask that later on. But it'll be monitoring and evaluation, assisting the process of auditing. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Co-chairperson? Honorable Mabi? Cindy, is Honorable Mabi on? I can see her, but I thought she wanted to speak. Who was calling for my attention?
Ma'am, Mabi was on. I can also still see her, so I don't know if she has a question or not. Maybe she doesn't
maybe
have
it was not her. Yeah. Okay, maybe it was not her.
Can you...
was kicked out again, but I'm back.
Okay. Yes.
No, no, I don't have money. I mean, I don't have any questions, Chair.
Yeah.
You got paid yesterday.
Okay, Kwacha person, you can continue. Sorry about that. We understand. I think she has been cut again.
Not in our name. At least the Sixth Parliament is more wiser now. We know that it's more about the people and less about our comfort. But we are all in agreement that the more the delays the project to be implemented, then it accumulates unnecessary money. So we urge Public Works to please improve on what they are doing. And yeah, basically that's all I wanted to say, Chair. That's all from me. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Co-Chairperson. Back to Public Works.
Good afternoon, Chair. My name is Thembeka Kolele. I'm the director of the currently acting as regional manager for Cape Town. I just want to, if the meeting can indulge me, Chair, to take the first discussion point of the last point of discussion, just to show the members the extent of the work that we did for the MP houses. On your screen, you are seeing...
And your video on, ma'am?
Oh, sorry, Chair.
Okay.
Sorry, Chair. Am I visible?
Yeah.
All right. On your screen, Chair, I just to give them a picture of how we have done the assessment of the units. These are the units that were sampled or that were accessible to the team at the time when we were doing the assessment of the MP houses. So each unit will have a drawing that would look like what you, I don't know if you can see my screen, Chair, and the members. Each unit, we have defined the scope that needs to be done on the units that we sampled. So all the units that have been sampled, you would find the scope of work that is defined to this extent. We have not been sharing this information because in all the presentations that we have been doing, we've been giving a summary of what needs to be done. I think Mr. Sazona has indicated before that what will be done now, before the contractor does the work, they will go into each and every unit with the professional team and assess the extent of the work that needs to be done, confirm that work, cost the work before that work can be carried out and will be signed off. I just wanted to respond to that one issue, Chair. Information is readily available. We will make it available to the meeting via prestige in Parliament. In terms of the risk management plan that was what was asked for, part and parcel of the independent audit that was done on these projects, they discovered that our risk management plan is too general. They have now guided us as part of the presentation as to what we need to do for each and every project to do a risk management assessment for everyone. Our risk management plan was generic, and we would do a full risk assessment when we are about to appoint a contractor for each and every project. So in terms of that one, the auditors from BDO, they will give us further guidelines as to how we need to do the risk management plan. And in terms of the project charter, we can share the project charters. We do have a risk management portion on the project charter before those are signed off by the executive authority and the accounting officers. And then in terms of the contract extensions, we found ourselves a little behind in terms of the planning for the new FM contracts, and we were forced to request approval from the National Treasury for approval of the of 1 year, which was granted. So the extension that we are handling of the 1 year was approved by the National Treasury with the costs that are attached to it. So we have not averted any procurement process without approval, but the National Treasury has given us the approval. In terms of the unemployed youth and in terms of the SMEs, the MP Houses project, we had allowed 45% of the project value to be assigned to SMEs in line with the National Treasury regulations, where all projects that are above 30 million, we need to assign 30% of that to contractors. But for this project, we have assigned 45% of the project value in order to assign that work to SMEs for development and employment. And those reports will be available because on monthly basis we receive reports from the professional team that would also talk to the aspect of the employment on the project. On the issue of the lift contract is coming to an end as well soon. Even with that one, we will also apply the 30% SMME National Treasury guideline in order for us to have the SMMEs and the new upcoming lift service contractors to be appointed as part and parcel of the tender. In candidate engineers, I think I'm happy to report that even with the kitchen project that we are still assessing, our young professional program has about a number of engineers that are being appointed within the department, and all the in-house projects that we do within the department are actually done by the young professional engineers that have been appointed on that program. In Cape Town, we have two project managers that are on the young professional program working towards their registration. We have three professional quantity surveyors. They are also working towards their registration, one electrical engineer, one mechanical, and one structural engineer. In total, the department to date has got about 25 registered young professionals that have come through this program, and we utilize them in the projects that we do, even within the precinct. In terms of the escalation cost, or in terms of the number of women and the experiential training, we can provide those numbers for each and every project. We will have to just be given time, if the meeting agrees, to provide the accurate statistics on each and every project in terms of the women, youth, and the people with disability and the SMEs on the project. In terms of the cost for COVID and the cost that is not assigned due to COVID, a decision was reached by the branch, the construction management branch within the department, that level 5 up to level 4, it's about 14 or 15 days. Those costs we will assign them to the contractors. But from level 4 up to level 1, the extension of time claims that will be granted to the contractors will be without cost. We will provide the necessary information for the NCOP and all the other projects if that is required. Then in terms of the escalation, Chairperson, I'm not sure on how to explain this item. The CPAP that we have listed on these projects, it's a contract price adjustment. So when you advertise a project, you would advertise a project, say, in June 2019. That cost that the contractor has priced on that project, if that project is awarded in June 2020, the price that the contractor has given us in June 2019 needs to be escalated based on the indices, which is recalculated on a quarterly basis. It's a contractual obligation that any employer has in terms of their contract, because the contractors must be given an opportunity or must be allowed to escalate their cost. But the cost escalation is limited to the indices that would be given by the Quantity Surveying Council. But we can actually maybe at some other engagements maybe elaborate a bit more on what that item actually means. So the cost, the CPAP, or the cost contractual size adjustment that has been provisioned, that has been listed in the presentation, just just talks to the cost escalation, and that cost escalation is only applicable on projects that are longer than 12 months and that are even higher than 13 million. So projects less than 13 million will not have a contract price adjustment because of the duration and the value of those projects. Then in terms of the kitchen project, I heard the honorable speaker saying that this project will not proceed. I think on the three presentations that we have made, we have indicated that we are still gathering the full information because we need to present that project for approval. In terms of the work that we have done so far, the engineers were since yesterday, our young professional engineers, to look at the staircase in one of the kitchens. Once that design has been concluded, we will have to present this project in full in terms of the cost and the work that is involved. Should the project or some of the items not need to be omitted, we will omit those items and go out on tender on whatever the scope of work for the kitchen project that has been approved by the executive authority and the minister. And then in terms of the, I've addressed all the issues that are pertaining to my areas of responsibility. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for the responses. And before we step out of...
if I may, Chair. My hand is up.
Chairperson, I would like to say some few.
And Honorable Masho, I think honorable members just want to let you know or make you aware that we have spent 2 hours already on this item. But I'll allow you, Ms. Faza and Masho, after you. Before you come in, Mr. Faza, DPW, before you, Faza, yes, you can speak. And then Honorable Marshall.
Good afternoon, Mr. Speaker, Dr. Masanda, Chairperson of the NCOP, Dr. MTS Faisal, Mr. Acting Secretary, colleagues. Good afternoon. My name is Meme Kahara, Director, Prestige, Cape Town. I just want to touch on one item of the gym. We all are aware that we have halls that were converted into gym facilities across the three parliamentary villages. After our meeting, our previous meeting on the 30th of October, our deputy minister requested us to go and get to fill the water to find out about the quotation regarding the machine that can be used in those facilities, because we couldn't have an agreement with Parliament who has to buy those swimming equipment. Around or the beginning of November, we consulted four companies that deals with the equipment or gyming facilities. The companies were one, My Gym, the other one was Gym Concept, Planet Fitness, and Ignite. But unfortunately, only one service provider or company came to our places, that is the villages, to do the assessment. They did this assessment. It took them like 2 weeks. They managed to come back to us on the 11th of November with the quotation. And the quotation moves as follows. From Laboria, the equipments were costing us 547,807. Acacia Park, 654,863,000 rand. And Pelican, it was 638,823. So if we look at those figures, they are around 2 million, and of which it's quite a big money. And it's not about the equipment only. Here we should involve security. We should involve the trainees or the trainers, the people who will be training. And we also have to have someone who will be able to look into the finance or the monthly subscription and all those. So we spoke with Ntate Sazona just before COVID to say perhaps we should go the route of leasing or the route of renting our facilities so that the department should not incur lots of cost or lots of expenditure. Unfortunately, we went into COVID, but I think we will be starting to work on this issue, but the route that will follow is the one of renting the facilities, unlike the department buying those, because 2 million is quite a lot of money in this economy that we are facing. That's the issue of the gym. Then I just want to take a second to explain the issue of the signal or the data. We received at our office at Acacia that there was a request sent by Parliament for a gentleman from Vodacom to come and assess the signal across the three villages. So we are waiting for this gentleman to arrive so that we can know how to move from this. But this was a request from Parliament. Thank you so much, Co-Chair and Chair.
Thank you. Thank you, Mekagara. Memasho?
Chair, let me firstly ask my co-chair that those that were supposed to answer questions, are they all done or to copy? Is somebody that is still going to copy?
We still have Mr. Fazal and Acting Secretary on this.
No, it's fine. It's fine, Mama. I'm saying it's fine if you kill for Billy. I'm sorry, Lenya, because I heard what I'm not being answered.
Okay. I think it will also serve you better, Memasho, to remind them of your question, which was not answered. So that when they come, they answer your question.
Right. In short, can I remind them?
Yes.
Thank you very much. Chairperson, my main question in what I have raised will be that of the most important of the three project control methods that they have, which is very critical, which I think maybe if they touch it, or if they don't have it today, they can still say we'll prepare it. I know it's a long thing. They can say we will prepare it and bring it back in the other time. Because in those controls, mechanisms, we can be able to determine the project feasibility activities of planning, project scheduling, because we have realized that the failing of some of those projects is because of this system that I'm talking about, of which I was just asking if we do have methods in place. If yes.
Okay. Thank you, ma'am. Mr. Fazal?
Chairperson, thank you very much. I will also try and start my video. Chairperson, just to get to the last question, I think it's best we respond in writing to the issue and involve our construction management branch where our project managers reside, and we provide some kind of assurance about the risk management processes we follow, as well as the project management methodologies that the department uses. So I'd like to ask for the opportunity to respond in writing to that. But Chair, what I wanted to do is to acknowledge the concerns that were expressed by the members. In fact, the chairperson of the NCOP, as well as the Honorable Speaker of the Assembly, laid bare the kind of concerns that were expressed to our minister as well, and that gave rise to the regular quarterly meeting. And I'm happy to say that these meetings are being honored on a regular basis. And in fact, as a preparatory meeting, the Secretary of Parliament and I are having pre-meetings to ensure that the Minister and the Executive Parliament are adequately briefed when they meet. We also have this memorandum of agreement, which will take shape very soon. And most importantly, we've put in place this project implementation methodology to deal with some of the concerns about escalating costs and time delays on parliamentary projects. That's what in fact gave rise to this audit. The audit is being conducted here independently by a private company, and 13 of the major projects in Parliament are part of the scope of the audit. I believe that the audit will shed light and in naked terms, expose the deficiencies that might have been associated with project delivery by the department. And I'd like to assure the honorable members of this committee and the honorable chairperson and honorable speaker that we will implement the recommendation of this audit without fear of favor and no holy cows, and also consequence management will be meted out for all negligence that we uncover, and ensure that as well that we put in the proper controls in place. And I'm very willing as well to report to the quarterly meeting of the presiding officers about the progress in this regard, to ensure that we are exemplary in the way we deliver services to Parliament and all our clients, and we don't have the kind of statement made by some of the members of the committee where Public Works is seen as a department that simply does not deliver. That we need to change this perception, and we need to meet requirements and appreciate the needs of our clients. And that, Chairperson, I would like us to report on a quarterly basis to the meeting of the presiding officers and give you and the members of the committee that particular assurance. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much. Before I hand over to Mejawa, I think you were proactive enough, because I wanted to suggest to you that the issues that have been raised by members and you could not respond to them now, can we agree, members? I'm suggesting to you that we give Public Works and Parliament to respond to our questions and concerns in 7 days in writing. I'm sending this idea to the members.
Agreed, Chairperson.
Okay, agreed. So we'll get those responses through our secretariat. Mejawa, before we step
I think you summarized everything. I just wanted to clarify the connectivity issue, but we will put it in there. Yes, even today as I speak, the mobile operators are having a meeting with my team, and they are working with the Parliament Village Coordinator, Klein, who is working with them to make sure that there was going to be an assessment of the villages to obviously address
the lack
of connectivity, not fiber. Thank you so much, Chair.
Thank you very much, Mejawa. We are now going to step to the next item. Thank you very much, Public Works and the whole team Public Works and the infrastructure. We are now stepping to the next item, which is going to be led by Mejawa, the update, because the first and the second item were clubbed together. Now go on the third item, the update on the filling of the critical post. And can I request my co-chairperson to lead on this one while I've requested her to respond to nature? Memabi? Co-chair?
I am with you. I'm listening.
Yeah, can you take over while I respond to...
That's fine, I'm in chat.
Okay, thank you.
Meshawa, if you're ready, the platform is yours.
Thank you so much. I'm waiting for the presentation to be shared on the screen, Cindy. This is a very short presentation which shared with the members just the status of recruitment on senior positions as requested. Cindy?
Hello, Ms. Mabi. It's Cindy Bali who's going to do it. I'm just going to do the presentation quickly.
Okay, sure. All right. There's a presentation, honorable members. It's on my screen. It's not on your screen. Got it, Cindy?
Are you sharing it, Mayor Chawa, or can I go ahead?
No, I thought you were doing it.
No, I don't know what you saw on your screen.
Hmm?
I wasn't sure what you saw on your screen, so I'll do it quickly.
No, please do it. I've just opened mine privately. Cindy, are you sharing the presentation?
Chairperson?
Okay. Yes, thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you, Cindy.
You want to
take
yes,
I can see it.
No, I thought perhaps you should continue without the presentation, but it's on now, Chair. Thank you.
Okay. Honourable members,
Yes, Chair, I'm on it.
This is just a brief statement on the filling of the various positions. As it was indicated, that the Secretary's position is vacant, the Head of Treasury, the Head of Security, as well as the CFO currently. The second slide just explains to you that the positions were advertised earlier on. Few people were considered. The pool wasn't wide. We re-advertised. With respect to Secretary, we have agreed and recommended to the Executive Authority that there be a multi-party panel, which also includes some experts. And in fact, that process has now kicked in, and we're going to have a talent search thereon. Obviously, we have to appoint that company through our SEM processes. The second one is on the head of the Treasury Advice Office. As you note, that the FMPPLA requires that the Executive Authority has a Treasury Advice Office and somebody who's going to act, obviously, as a conduit between the administration and the Executive Authority as the head of the Budget of Parliament. That process has also gone into talent sourcing. We did advertise, like I said, we advertised. It's not that this is the first time we're advertising. We advertised earlier on, didn't get a suitable people. And then, of course, we have actually opted for talent sourcing. All these positions will be talent sourced by one company that we will have it out. Hopefully by next week, we shall have gotten it through the proper RFQ following our SCM processes. The following position is that of the PBO. I think this was concluded. As far as I know, that the interviews were held by the committees of members, particularly from the Joint Standing Committee of Finance. And the process is now at a vetting position. And this report was also provided at the NA program meeting yesterday. The last vacancy, according to my presentation, is that the CFO. Our CFO left last year, and of course our current acting CFO retires end of October. The position was advertised. Yes, we got good candidates. In fact, our top candidates were two women. However, the one woman was actually offered a position much quicker than us. And then the other one we couldn't get because she was no more available. So this also has been put again into the talent search process. And in this regard, we got input from the Executive Authority, which flagged the fact that we do need to have quite a well-skilled person at the level of a chartered accountant, given the fact and the size of the Budget of Parliament. This is the status of our senior management recruitment, meaning that for a while we're going to be continue with the acting persons, particularly in those areas of finance and secretary to parliament. Thank you very much, Chairperson. That's my presentation, the end of my presentation.
Very sweet and short, straight to the point. We are grateful of the fact that you are at least insisting that women must be considered in this executive position. Members, that's the presentation. Anyone with any clarifying question or...
Chairperson?
Any input that members would want to make? Yes.
Chairperson, it's hard to be here. Ne? I appreciate the input made by the acting secretary to parliament. But what I'm worried about is the issue of the time frame. You know, these, some of these positions have been vacant for quite a long time. So what is the time frame which they have put in place that they can ensure that these positions are occupied? Thank you, Chair.
Chair, can I also ask a question? Yeah, thank you very much. Thank you for the presentation. ASTP, you mentioned the head of security. I don't know if it was a slip of the tongue or is it some position also. Can you tell us about that as well? Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. Is there any members, Cindy, that have raised their hand through the portal? None? Okay. Mayor, what can you take us through? Can you respond to those two questions?
Yes, thank you, Chair Awol. Yes, we do have the time frames, Honorable Khadebe. I think as of now, when we advertised in the first period, we were hoping that by the end of June, we would be filling all these positions if everything had gone according to our plan. With the coming ones is once we get the talent search consultant to help us to do this, we'll be able to provide you with a time frame. Normally, when it's the process of the talent search, obviously in 3 days' time we get an RFQ, that is the request for quotation from a company that we will appoint. That takes 3 days. 7 days later on, we engage that company. 20 days later on, they have to go and source the CVs that are properly aligned to our qualifications as requested. Then, of course, we've got another 14 days to notify and shortlist and make sure that the candidates we want to interview are available. And as I'm counting, it's going to be December, if not January, because we are sitting in October now. And as evidenced in my report, it's not that we have been sitting and doing nothing. We've had the first cohort, the secretaries we advertised, we shortlisted A and B, gave to the executive authority. Only two people would have been appointable. The one person got a job much earlier or during the course of our process, got appointed also in a higher position. We're left with one person only to interview, which didn't give the executive authority enough pool to interview. Hence, we went into a talent search. Similarly, CFO, we went through an interview, shortlisted. One person got a job quicker. The head of security, yes, Honorable Singh, since Ms. Holtzman left Parliament, we've not heard as head of security. Even that, we even had a panel, which included the CIRA, and I think we also requested somebody from crime investigation to be part of our panel. We didn't get anybody appropriate there. They did actually help us to say some of the people who were shortlisted and interviewed were not necessarily up to scratch. We got nobody, so that is also a position that is an important position for the executive authority, because in terms of our security policy, that person has got to report all risks related to security to the executive authority, and that's their position. So that also needs to go into, in fact, with that, we actually have gotten their CVs in, that is already in process. So we do have it as a vacant position. What we will share with the committee through the office secretariat will provide you with the time frames. in light of what I have presented once we've gotten our talent search consultant. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thanks. Mechawa? Can we then move to the next agenda item? And I'm not sure if the chairperson did release colleagues from Public Works. If they're still in this meeting, they are free to excuse themselves, to leave the meeting. I'm not sure if Chair did give them permission, please, but they're still here. They're free to do so. Can we now get to the next agenda item? Cindy, what is next on the agenda? Please flag the agenda for us. I think if the Public Service Commission recommendations and reports.
Yes, Chairperson, it's the Executive Authority's update on the implementation of the Public Service Commission's recommendations.
Chairperson, Honourable Brothers. Chairperson, I'm just concerned
Chair,
I'm just concerned that certain persons on this Zoom chat are referred to in that executive summary, in that PSC report, notably the acting secretary. I don't know if Advocate Bendela is on the line as well. But I don't think that they should be participants in the Zoom meeting whilst we discuss findings that include them. Okay. The persons I'm referring to are Advocate Kawa, Advocate Bendela.
It's a fair procedural request. I think we also do understand. Mam Chawa, can you do the honors? And Advocate Bendela, if he's in the platform. I will then hand over to the executive authorities to take us through the presentation. Madam Speaker and Mr. Masondo, the platform is yours.
Yes, should there are other senior managers, should they not necessarily...
Can you just quickly highlight for us, Ma,
I will leave.
Can you just quickly do that?
Yes, and the other officials will also leave. I will leave. Mr. Castle will leave. Mr. Malota will leave. There's Dawu, Mungana Dawu. I don't know whether that's, I don't think it's a member. Is it a member? Or maybe. The secretary to the NA also will leave. Yeah, they know themselves, Chairperson, all the officials will withdraw from the platform. Thank you very much.
Okay, I'm sure we won't experience any problem. They've always cooperated, so we will continue on with the understanding that they have all left the platform. But I can still see you, Machawa. Please leave so that I can give over to the speaker and the chairperson of the NCOP. Alitema. Madam Speaker, Tatema Sondo.
Everything, everything be your thing. Chairperson, another thing. Your mother was mine.
Mabulu Kankie, Ugena.
Chairperson, let me express appreciation for the opportunity to say a few words.
Can we just deal with this Parliament YouTube? What? Can we, just for this item, do we want it on the Parliament broadcast?
Madam Speaker, I think previously it was open to public and the media was present, so it would be worthless if they... Yeah, let's just allow them to be here
and only excuse people who are directly affected in this matter. We've had meetings before in the presence of the media. And I think that's the reason why they are here. They have interest on this matter. So let's just allow them be part of the meeting. It's fine.
With Ambi?
No, thank you very much, Chairperson. I'll just make a few comments. In the main, this report is about a report of the Public Service Commission. And members of the committee are familiar with this. And out of the Public Service Commission report flowed the disciplinary process. Now, the first point I want to speak to is in relation to the special inquiry into the functioning of the International Relations and Protocol Division, and to highlight the following, that in relation to challenges, there's been problems around relationship in the unit, and the unit has over time become dysfunctional. There's also been very poor communication amongst the members of the unit and Parliament. There's been also been poor conflict management skills available, which did not take the work of the unit very, very far as and when problems arose. There's also been, over time, unaddressed historical issues which required urgent attention. Now, as a broad response, one can report that considerable progress has since been made, and this includes, amongst others, organizational realignment project which has been undertaken, the question of identifying office space, but of course not everybody is relocated, which means that there are some members who are still where they were before this project was undertaken. So one can say that this is work in progress, but clearly the functionality of the International Relations Unit is under question, is not what it should be, and there's a need for this matter to be systematically and finally resolved as soon as possible. So it's work in progress. The next question is that of the fixed term contract and related matters. Now this relates to the need to have certainty on who are the people who are employed by Parliament, and to do away with situation and instances where people were seen as part-time personnel. HR policies were reviewed in 2017 and approved in 2018, and they were subsequently implemented from the 1st of April 2019. So there's been a bit of progress on this matter, So matters such as transfers, secondments, acting appointments have been clarified, including ensuring that there's improved wellness policy. The next issue is a question of access, control, and security to Parliament. This has been receiving ongoing attention in keeping with the National Key Point Act of 1980. So the question of the standing of Parliament with regard to access control and security is a matter that has been receiving attention. It's also a work in progress because one can't talk with certainty. We are not where we were some months and years ago, but we are not where we think we ought to be. So there's ongoing work on the question. On the question of the Kharane family, so the Kahane family, since the tragedy, what has happened is that the family has been allowed access to Parliament and to conduct own family ritual at the site of the tragedy. And the site of the tragedy, as you all know, was the office that used to be utilized by Kahane. So that part of it has been dealt with, but the family, as we may know, had pursued the issue in the courts, and the sense that one has is really that that's where we are. The court did dismiss their matter with regard to pursuing how Kahane passed on. As you all know, this was a case of a suicide, and that's where it stands at the moment. On the disciplinary process, steps were taken against the divisional manager for international relations, a protocol, and was found guilty on all the three charges. So, as far as Parliament is concerned, the process has been concluded. But it is important, of course, to report that the manager has since taken the Public Service Commission report for a review, and the respondents in this regard is the Executive Authority of Parliament as well as the Acting Secretary. So briefly, that is the report, or this is the report. The speaker may add.
I don't think at this instance I want to add anything. I think we can leave it to the chairpersons if they have questions.
Thank you very much, Dr. Masondo and Madam Speaker, for the presentation. I think one notes quite important developments since the Public Service Commission report, that there's been a lot of work that has been achieved. In fact, one is just listening and saying that the sixth parliament already it has achieved, and through your intervention and
cooperation with the Public Service Commission's recommendations, there's been a lot of changes, and for that we are grateful. I'm listening to Ntate Masondo sharing with us historical issues that could have been challenges, office space, organizational realignment, contracts, HR policy reviewed, HR policies that were reviewed and finally completed and transferred. And one gets comfort to say that your leadership is really appreciated. And also with the relationship that you've had with the Kahani family, it is also appreciated that you've gone out of your way, and not only as leaders, but personally as human beings. I know the role that, Madam Speaker, you have played as a mother, personally visiting the families and trying to understand the said issue that could have happened, in Parliament's presence. I just wanted to highlight that in appreciating your leadership and your commitment to the Public Service Commission's recommendations. Members, if there's anything that you would want to add or any clarity-seeking question with regard to progress made and maybe the disciplinary action as well, we welcome it that the manager protocol was found guilty, even though he has reviewed, he has taken the report to for preview. He has taken the public service report for preview. So if he's still pursuing the matter with the court, there's little that we can comment or say about it until such time that he presents back with his legal representative. So I just wanted to appreciate that. Members, is there any member who would like to raise any issue? I've seen a note that Mr. Singh is going to leave the meeting. I'm not sure if I'm correct, Cindy. Will you correct me on that? That Mr. Singh is going to leave the meeting. I've seen that note flagging on the screen. And then if there are... Yes,
sir. And I've noted for you Mr. Khadebe, Mayor Marshall, and Mr. Brantese.
Okay. In that order, members, thank you very much. Please, Ms. Khadebe, Tim, and Ms. Marshall. In that order.
Thank you, Chairperson, for... The chairperson of the NCOP for the report delivered. We really appreciate the steps which were taken, because when you look at the recommendations of the Public Service Commission, there are 18, but you can club them together and then come with an overarching resolutions around that. But what I'm interested in, Chair, is that there is a recommendation that the issue of the three officials, Mejawa, Pindela, and Stole, they must be assessed on their people management skills. How far is that process, or what institution they are going to use to assess that? Because I think that when coming to that, it is very important. But I understand now that if the entire report has been taken for review in the courts, you might have limitations on implementing it in its entirety. But in the meantime, those who have not taken this thing to court, was the assessment done? Number two, Chairperson, will be the issue of the Parliament as the national key point. It is true, I did get the understanding from the side of the Speaker in the previous discussion that Parliament must not be a fortress. But at the same time, Parliament cannot be leaky. Not everyone must be allowed to come with a gun in Parliament. Some sort of security arrangement must be done. Some sort of a random search of cars must be done so that the people can be on their toes, that they don't bring the weapons which are not necessarily needed in Parliament. I think this experience, although it is painful, but I think that we must have a learning experience out of it, that we must improve our security. Just imagine
if a member of parliament can come with a gun and shoot someone inside the chamber. If anyone can come with a weapon inside in the presence of parliament on his own, on the day that thing happened, I think that it will be a sad day for the Republic of South Africa. We remember very well that the architect of apartheid, Cecil Rhodes, was murdered in the chamber in South Africa. I don't think that. I think from that aspect, we must learn something out of that, that we cannot allow that thing to happen in our democracy. And then, Chairperson, again, on the issue of the support which was given to the Karana family, I think that we really appreciate the executive authority. In particular, even where the former Speaker of Parliament, Mbete, is, I think that we as the committee, when this matter comes to a conclusion, we must write a letter of appreciation. The way she and the then NCOP Chairperson, the current Speaker of Parliament, the way they handled this issue. I think that it was handled in the professional way. It was handled in a sensitive way. But I think in going forward, I think the issue of these managers which are on the fixed-term contract, I think it's bad that the people are going to work not searching about their future. I think it must be only be the people at the top, the really high top management, just like those people were speaking about in the previous item, that those, they must have fixed-term contracts. But the other managers, they must be assessed regularly, annually, so that they must be assessed annually. If there's performance, the people must be helped that they perform. You cannot dump them in the dustbin. So really, I think this progress report is good, it's encouraging, but I think that a lot must be done. I think that this matter must be brought to the finality. It's unfortunate that it was taken to court, because I would have loved that this matter is closed today permanently. But if it's still open for court, it's fine. That manager has a right to get the recourse from the court. So as far as I'm concerned, we really appreciate the report. And then kudos to the executive authority of parliament for what they've done up to so far. Thank you, Jeff.
Thanks, Mr. Khadebe. Tim?
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, thank you very much to Ntata Masondo for his presentation and to the comments from the Speaker. Chair, I want to echo my colleague Sakhadebe's comments about the report that I refer to is point 17.4 of the executive summary. And it refers to Acting Secretary Diawa and Advocate Pandela and Mr. Sotole. Now, I also would like I agree with the Honourable Khadebe that we need an update as to whether or not anything has happened in regard to that recommendation. But I think that the executive authority and this committee should consider whether or not we accept 17.4 of the recommendations in the executive summary, simply because we have the incredibly tragic event of one of our employees of parliament committing suicide due to severe depression and dissatisfaction with labor-related matters. And all of the persons referred to in 17.4 were ultimately responsible for that. And I'm not entirely sure whether people management is frankly a appropriate consequence for the loss of a life. And I would like this committee and the executive authorities to consider whether or not there should be disciplinary action against those three individuals and not just people management. Would the family of Mr. Kharani be satisfied with simply people management? And I'm not saying that they need to be dismissed. I don't know what the family feels about that. You know, South African law is a long history of consulting victims as well. So I don't know what maybe the executive authority, the speaker and the chairperson can give us some insight to that. But I honestly believe that there should be concomitant action and that some form of disciplinary action should be meted out to the persons who are ultimately responsible for the labor relations and the human resources protocols in Parliament, which if you took the time to read the report in detail as I have, absolutely failed. The grievance procedure absolutely failed. Informal processes were attempted, were not used properly, and it left Mr. Kharani in an absolute state of feeling completely helpless, which led to his really, really tragic demise. And I just think that the executive authorities and this committee should consider whether people management is really an appropriate consequence for the loss of a life in our beloved Parliament. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, team. Memazo.
My chairperson, let me welcome the report presented by the chairperson of MCOP, Ndate Masondo, including our Speaker of Parliament. I would also like to really to welcome your efforts in the role that you played as mothers, mother and father of all of us in Parliament, and then in the Kharani family, being guided by our values, which are openness, responsiveness, accountability, professionalism, integrity, and teamwork. I really like to take this opportunity to inform these two leaders that we are so happy with the high standard of professionalism that you have displayed in this matter. If it was not really that we have good leaders like yourself, this matter was going to be out of context. It was going to put us somewhere where we didn't want to be there. But because of your professionalism, hard work, teamwork, and the openness of Parliament to how you display your work, how you do it, we are very happy. I just wanted to comment on that keep on the good work. Being the mother of all of us, keep it up is good. Thank you.
Thanks, Co-Chair. Yes, Co-Chair.
Thank you very much. Thanks very much, Chairperson. Let me join the members by welcoming the report. And I think all of us have been awaiting the finality of the report of the case. And it's something that has been a concern as a new committee in this sixth term. When we got a report from the legacy report from the fifth parliament that there's such a case and the that they will engage the executive authority and make sure that the matter is being attended to. And we've been trying everything possible to make sure that we work together with the executive authority to intervene and get into the space. I just want to remind the members that the last time we engaged as the committee on the matter, we were in the old assembly. And the deputy speaker, also, we need to commend him because he also had the interactions with the family. He presented the matter together with the chairperson of the NCOP, and he gave us a briefing. And on the matter of the disciplinary committee, in as far as the report of the PSC is concerned, is that the legal opinion or advice that they sought in terms of the implementation is that the two other members or individuals, officials who were identified as supposed to be given an assessment or a course of some sort for skills development. I'm using my own words. I'm not specifically using the words in the report. That's how I interpret it. Is that there was an indication from the two officials, Advocate Findela and Medjawa, that the PSC came to a conclusion based on what other people have said without having been given an opportunity for them for them to air their view or to clear whatever allegations that were against them. And we know that as a democratic country with our laws and the constitution, everybody has the right. And the reports that we got from the deputy secretary, I mean the deputy speaker, is that the executive authority felt that there was a loophole of some sort there, and they agreed with one recommendation in terms of the disciplinary processes. And I just wanted to remind members that they, I don't know if members want us to go back again, because I'll always try to remind members where we come from so that there's progress and we find closure in the matter. Because really it's painful, and it's not nice for the family when each time we meet, we talk about this thing like nothing has happened, and we are picking or pinching on the wounds, and reminding them of the tragedy that happened to them. So I want to give respect to the family and try as much as possible and support the executive authority to do the right thing where they are, and acknowledge and commend them where they are doing well, so that we find closure on the matter in a way of also trying to assist the family to find closure on the matter. Coming to the issue of the unit of IR, I think it's something that I want to agree with you, with the executive authority, that in Parliament we have raised these issues, and also the issue of the security and other things previously in our meetings, and recommended that you need to find a way of strengthening security. Things that have been raised by Honorable Zeki, Khadebe, and Chief. But then the restructuring of that unit, it needs to happen, because we don't know what will happen and how far aggrieved are the other colleagues in that section. And from what I hear, there's no cooperation amongst, there's no teamwork amongst the unit. And I will advise that when that restructuring is done, to avoid further conflict or instabilities, let's make sure that we involve all the stakeholders that has an interest in as far as the workers' rights and conditions are concerned, like labor. And the people affected in the officials affected in that unit, so that we find balance and involve everybody. So that's my plea to the executive, and I want to appreciate that this committee, together with the executive of the sixth parliament, has been able to respect the demands and responded to everything that if not 90% of what we expected from you. Remember also in the previous meeting that we had, we have asked questions to the deputy secretary in as far as the benefits of the late Mr. Karani, may his soul rest in peace, if the family has been received. receiving and the parliament paid out the necessary benefits. There's nothing outstanding in that regard. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair.
Thank you, members. Indeed, we are moving towards closure on this matter, but the improvement of systems and human resource, professionalizing our human resource, generally in Parliament, not only focusing on the IR department, I think that the Masonda said it well, that it is work in progress. We'll still see improvement, and that never and never again that Parliament or any government institution will experience what the Haran family have experienced, that an individual gets so aggrieved that in protest of unfair labor practices, then they decide to take their lives, you know, at the place of employment. We hope that this is for the first time and for the last time in the history of our democracy. Madam Speaker, Dr. Masondo, over to you. Members have raised questions, comments. If there's any issue that you would want to respond to, you are free to do so. Over to you.
Thank you, Chair. Indeed, that Khatebe is right. We must look at security, not only for or against, but we have seen also across, or you can have state-of-the-art security which is not in your face, which is very effective, which will help us spot weapons of all types, which we are looking at. And not all of this is the type that makes any country bankrupt. So we're looking at that also. And that is why we have refused to pick anybody else for head of security in Parliament, because we thought we needed somebody who knows the environment properly. I hear what Honorable Broto says. It is true. 17.4 worried us also. It worried us because these were top leaders of the parliamentary administration. But the report did not say they have acted unlawfully. It didn't say this. It didn't make any recommendation other than to say take them through assessment and give them leadership training. So before we could do that, we thought we actually gave everybody who was mentioned in the report the opportunity to respond to the report. The Acting Secretary and Advocate Pindela did respond. They told us that they accept their rights. When the matter of the suicide got very messy, we sought legal advice on the report, specifically on 17.4. The first legal advice said to us, no, indeed, you can't just accept, but you have no grounds, because the PSC did not actually give them the chance to respond. We went on, we have gone for a second opinion, and very different and very able legal minds of South Africa, they've given us almost the same response. We then thought that we should do what we have done with the chairperson of the NCOP. after the completion of the disciplinary hearing of the Ntate, we again gave them the two, Ntate Pindela and the ASTP, the report of the DC. We have since written to them to say, what do you say? Because what the DC says about you is concerning. So it is not that we are very comfortable with 17.4. It is that whatever it is, that we will be very careful, that we are procedural, that we are not unfair to anybody, but that we are also not just saying it's fine, it's fine. We're not saying that. And that is why it is true that we're saying that it is still work in progress. We're still waiting for the two to respond to us. And in the meantime, as we said, Ntate Sithole has taken this report on review also. And so for us, this matter is still very fluid. It is still there. But what we are very clear about is that we do need to move to restructure the unit. We do need to move to just reestablish the trust of the unit, the individuals in the international division into the institution, that it is there to protect them, but also our own trust in them that they will continue to be loyal to the establishment will be able to listen and to protect them. So that is where we are, members, that the PSC report is under review. In the meantime, we are also waiting for the response from Ntate Pindela and Mayor Jawa. So when we have had anything, any finality of the matter, of course, we will come back to the committee and inform the committee of whatever further steps we may have to take or we may not. We don't know what the responses will be. Thank you, Chair.
Yeah. Just to add one more point, Chairperson, I'm covered by the speaker, obviously, and I'm happy with what she has said. On the question of benefits, my understanding is that the benefits were paid to the family.
To the family.
Okay. Yeah, thank you for the progress report. Members, I'm not sure if there's anything that you'd like to probe further.
Chair?
Yes?
Chair, please. I would just like to thank, I really would just like to thank Speaker Mamudise for her acknowledgement of my point, and that it is a fair point, and that it is one that bears further scrutiny. I'd just like to thank Mum Speaker Modise for that acknowledgement. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you very much. This is work in progress. Until such time that there's more additional information, thanks for the commitment. The executive authorities will then keep us posted. Let's step off this item, members. Cindy, what is the next item?
Chairperson, the next item was going to be the adoption of our minutes and reports, but we don't have a quorum at the moment, so those will have to be deferred to our next meeting.
Oh, then that means we've come to the end of our meeting. It has been a very long meeting from 12 o'clock till 3:30. I think we've spent a lot of time on public works, which is a worrying factor. Maybe in our next meeting, co-chair, we will have to find a way of bringing them quite often so that we don't invite them after a long time, because then members have a lot of issues to raise with them. We'll need to find a way of trying to frequent them in our meeting so that members can, as and when matters or issues arises, then they can be able to engage with public works. The Karane matter as well, we are satisfied. At least there's the light at the end of the tunnel. We have made a lot of progress. Thanks once more to the leadership of Parliament for their cooperation and the support that they've continued to give to the family. We'll wait for the review. And on vacant posts, not just posts, but critical posts, we also depend on the internal systems to make sure that we don't prolong vacancies that are unoccupied. If you look at the vacancies that are there, they are all very strategic. Without them, the institution will collapse. In that note, members and members of the executive authority, members of the media, if they are present, and members of public, we want to thank you for attending this meeting, co-chair. Unless if there's anything that you would like to add on what I've just said on the summary. Otherwise, from my side, I want to thank everyone for participating and for their patience as well.
Thank you very much.
Co-chair?
Thank you.
Okay. In the absence of any comment from the chairperson, we'll declare the meeting officially closed. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Say a banger.